Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Full of expectations. Speak like one who would insist until he takes his miracle from here tonight. Speak like someone who will not take no for an answer. Someone who must take what he came for. A man who is ready to katalambano. A man who will not take wait until tomorrow. It's got to be now. He said, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. This is your morning. And so insist now. Go ahead and talk to the Lord.
Hey, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah. Hey, I am. Hey, I am. Hey, I am. Hey, I am. Hey,
hey, I am. 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 Hey, I am.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, Father, we give you praise. Tonight, do what only you can do and take the glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Just go ahead and give the Lord a big hand. Wow. Glory to God. Glory to God. God bless you. Thank you for coming. You may be seated. Such an honor to have you here tonight. We believe that the Lord is out to do us great good. The Bible said, eyes have not seen, neither ears heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, the things that God has for them that love him. And I'm sure you are here today because you love the Lord. You were not paid to come here. You have many important and legitimate things to do. Yet you let go of all of them to come sit down for hours and hours upon hours just to have fellowship with God's Spirit. If anybody suggests that you don't love the Lord, he is a joker. And if you are seated here and you love Jesus, come on, go ahead and give the Lord a shout of praise. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to share with us briefly this evening. The Lord is set to bless us tonight. The Lord is set to empower us tonight. I know you came with a lot of issues. God is all, as I look around the hall, the Holy Ghost is just, I'm almost being distracted right now. That means God is set to touch people. I want to encourage you to open your heart. You'll be amazed what God will do with you. You will be amazed. That's why it's called a miracle. Because both the one who is healed and the one who did the praying are all surprised. Because neither of them did it. The one who did it is beyond. We just aligned with the protocol and the power begins to flow. And so open your heart tonight. You will be shocked what God will do with you. The Holy Ghost, okay. If I begin to call the cases, I may be tempted to begin to minister. Praise the Lord. I began sharing with us last week that the challenge of the believer is not a challenge of faith. You don't lack faith. As you are seated here now with whatever problem it is you came with, you already have enough faith to deal with it. Your problem is not the problem of faith. Most times, the problem believers have is a problem of understanding. Because the faith you need for a victorious life is already in you. You don't need extra faith to walk in victory in life. In fact, God was meticulous enough to give you faith before you began the journey. I read to us last week from Romans chapter 12 verse 3. The Bible said clearly that unto everyone that believes on the name of the Lord, it said, is dealt to the measure of faith. It didn't say a measure of faith. It didn't say he's measuring faith to him. It said it's already dealt to him the measure of faith that you need for a glorious life is already dealt unto you. And I want to shock you a bit further that you don't just have the measure of faith you require for life. The faith you have is the faith that the apostles of old that wrought wonders walked with. That's the faith you have. Peter was speaking to us in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 1. He was writing to the body and he spoke about the like precious faith that church has. That means the church, the faith had, the faith that church had is the same faith that Peter, the great apostle, was walking with. And now when you look at Peter's life in Acts chapter 5 verse 15, the Bible said Peter left the place of prayer. He said, they put the sick by the wayside that the shadow of Peter may touch these sick people and they will be healed. The man that was healing the sick by his shadow, the instrumentality of his shadow, is writing to the church and is telling the church that we have like precious faith.
He called that faith precious and he called it like faith. That means the same faith Peter has that empowered him so much to heal the sick with the shadow is the faith the sick man who is dying also has. So the problem between Peter who is healing by his shadow and the man who is dying of sickness is not a problem of faith, because they have the same kind of faith. So the problem they have, or the difference between the two of them, is an issue of understanding. There is something Peter knows and applies that the guy does not know. If he were to know what Peter knows, he will stand up from his quagmire and instantly begin to do what Peter is doing. So the difference between the Peter healing through Christ and the man dying, even though he carries Christ, is a problem of understanding. In fact, Paul was writing, and Paul took it a bit deeper. You know, Paul is a spiritual archaeologist. The things the apostles speak about, when Paul opens up, his own dimension is a bit deeper. And Paul did not just say, we share the faith with the apostles. At first, Paul was talking in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. He said, according as it is written, they believe and have spoken. We, having the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore speak. So Paul, first of all, outlined the fact or corroborated Peter's point that we have the same faith the apostles had. But a point came where Paul discovered it was a bit deeper than that. We don't just have the same kind of faith with the apostles. It would have been beautiful if we have the faith that the apostles of the first had. But Paul went a bit deeper. And in Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I have the faith of the Son of God. I don't just have the faith Peter had. I don't just have the faith that all the other apostles that walked with Jesus had. He said, the same faith Jesus has is what I have. That means every one of us seated here today, the faith that was dealt to us is not just the faith of Peter. It's not just the faith of Paul. It's not just the faith of Bartholomew. It's the same faith that Jesus walked with while he walked on the face of the earth. That is the faith that you and I have. And if we have the same faith as Christ, then we have the right to experience the same things Christ experienced. And you know that this faith of Christ was so strong that he never took ill. Jesus never took ill once. So what it goes to mean is that you don't have to be sick. It's possible for you to live above sickness, because the faith Jesus has is the faith that you have. But many times, believers don't know how to put their faith to work. Even though they have the faith of the Son of God, they can't put it to work. Meanwhile, before Jesus came, people had different kinds of faith. Elijah had faith. Abraham had faith. And all of them did great wonders. If they gave us the faith of Elijah, it would have been good. If they gave us the faith of Enoch, it would have been good. Enoch walked with God and was not. If I had the faith of Enoch, it means I don't need to wait until the rapture. I can be raptured today. Because Enoch's faith was strong enough for Enoch to have raptured and gone to heaven bodily. And I wasn't given that kind of faith. If I was given the faith of Enoch, it would have been enough. There was a faith Moses walked with. So great a faith that Moses delivered a nation from captivity with just a rod. That guy became so powerful that he could literally command nature and nature obeyed him. If I was given the faith of Moses, that would have been enough. But God did not give us the faith of Enoch. He didn't give us the faith of Moses, as powerful as this man walked. Now, if he went further to give us the faith of the apostles, it would have been glorious. But he didn't stop there. He gave us the same faith that he walked with. That means if we don't experience what Jesus is experiencing, it's not Jesus' fault, it's our fault. This is why we come to search the scriptures, to find out what did Jesus know that made him walk the way he walked. If we know what Jesus knows and we apply ourselves, then we will have Jesus' results. This is why Jesus himself said in John 14 verse 12, he said, greater works than these shall ye do. How can Jesus be doing great works and Jesus will look at me and say, greater works than these shall ye do? The reason is because he said, I go to the Father. While I am on earth walking, there's nobody in heaven interceding for me. You are on earth walking. I will go to the Father and I will be interceding for you. This is why you will do greater works. I was walking on earth without an intercessor in heaven. That's why when Jesus was dying, he had to go pray for himself. In fact, he called the disciples, please pray with me for 1 hour. When he showed up, the guys were dozing off. So Jesus was without the support structure of intercession. But in your own case, after he gave you his faith, He now told you, I am going to the Father to be interceding for you on earth. So when your faith is supposed to fail, Jesus will bring you back up. That's why he said to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan desires to have you, to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith faileth not. That means when you are supposed to fail, Jesus will bring back up through intercession. So you have no reason whatsoever to fail. This is why Jesus said, greater works than this shall ye do. So when you see Jesus do something, what are you supposed to do? Copy and paste. Did you see what the apostles did? Jesus never healed the sick with his shadow. But Peter understood something. If you say, greater works shall I do, you are laying hands on the sick. Me, I will lay shadow. And it was proven. And Paul showed up and said, if you say greater works than this, then I don't need to go for the healing service. Mail my handkerchief. And the handkerchief of Paul was sent to a healing service. And wonders were wrought. How did demons know that there was power on the handkerchief? The handkerchief didn't say, in the name of Jesus, get out. The moment the handkerchief made contact with them, healings began to take place. Why? Because greater works than this shall ye do. I go to the Father. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, you don't know who you are. If you enter your reality, you will not just be healed. You will not just walk in divine health. You will become a mobile healer in your generation. And so turn to yourself and say, I am a mobile healer. I am a balm in Gilead. I am healing in motion. Everywhere I go, sickness bow. And if sickness bow when I move, then I can't be sick. Give the Lord a shout! Listen, when you know this, you will become confident about life. Because when the devil comes to you, he brings fear and deception. The reason is because he's not sure what you know. So he wants to find out, how much do you know? If he understands that you don't know much, then he will begin to rule over you. But when the devil shows up and you let him know that you know, you'll be shocked. Can I tell you some of the most unbelievable testimonies that we've experienced? We didn't come from a mountain of prayer. Sometimes when you are ministering like this and God wants to begin to wrought wonders, he will take your memory back to your friend that had an experience 10 years ago. And that your memory becomes a channel of power. Your friend may be dead 5 years ago, and while you are preaching, God brings the memory of that your friend. The moment that memory comes, you know that there's somebody here who is deaf. Because God is not reminding you for the fun of it. He's telling you somebody is here with that same condition. And the moment you call that case, you will discover that your memory becomes energized to heal the sick. All of these things happen to show you how easy it is to walk in victory. But you need to know how spiritual things work. If you don't know how spiritual things work, you will be struggling. And the moment you start struggling is a sign in the spirit that you know not. And if you know not and you do not understand, you will walk on in darkness. It's a law in the spirit. So sickness has no power to bind you. The faith you carry in your spirit now already made you a more than a conqueror. So you are not trying to be healed. As you step out of this auditorium today, you will become a balm for sickness. Everywhere they say somebody is sick, you will show up. Did you know that Jesus never told us to pray for the sick? He said, lay hands on them. Just touch them. That means whether you touch them deliberately, consciously or unconsciously, so long as you have touched them, sickness has a technology within itself to recognize who touched it. That's why when Jesus was walking, the woman with the issue of blood touched him. He was not aware the woman was coming. But the moment the woman touched him, he said, virtue left me. Virtue. The woman's faith could interact with the virtue that is on Christ. There is something that you carry. You are not a victim. You are a more than a conqueror. You are supposed to be a sign to your generation. Isaiah understood it and he said, I and the children the Lord has given to me, we are for signs and we are for wonders. Now, if your problem is not the sickness that you are dealing with, if your problem is not the lack of faith, what then is the problem? It is an issue of understanding. And I'm going to try to straighten just two of them tonight before we pray for the sick and see God do wonders. Are we ready? The first thing people need to understand that will help them receive from the Lord swiftly is not to put their faith in the manifestation, but to put their faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, when you are praying for people, or when people are trying to receive from the Lord, many times what they do is that they are looking at the symptom and they are waiting for the symptom to change. And they think it's when the symptom changes that something happens. Because they are looking at the symptom, they are channeling their energy to that symptom. And so the symptom becomes stronger and stronger and more real than it was. Because where you focus on is where you empower. So many times when you are taking declarations, people are focusing on the sign. They are not focusing on the master. If people will turn their faith to God, away from what is happening, their healing will be swift. Somebody may be deaf and they can't hear. And when you are saying, be healed, the person is checking to see whether he can pick a sound. That focus on sound becomes a distraction and it misses the power of God. When they are saying, be healed, your attention is not the ear. Your attention is the master. Somebody has a growth. You are saying, growths are dematerializing. And the moment he or she hears growth, he or she will rush to where the growth is and start checking whether the growth is reducing. That's a distraction. When they say growth be healed, what you are pursuing is the word. The word that went forth, that is the word that carries your healing. So you catch the word. The moment you are able to catch the word, the growth will respond on its own accord. When you turn from the word and you focus on the growth, you will miss the word and the growth will remain. So many times, people have faith to be healed. But when they come into a meeting, they channel their faith in the wrong direction. They channel their faith to the challenge instead of God. And because their faith is on the challenge, nothing positive is coming from the challenge. Every positive thing coming from the Lord, they miss it. Let me show you how God healed the Israelites in the Old Testament. In Exodus 23 verse 25, this was the Lord speaking to the people of Israel. Now, they had real challenges. Because faith is not denial of fact. It is actually the refusal of fact to dominate you. So they had real challenges and God did not overlook it. But here was what God gave them. He said, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy waters, and he shall take sickness away from thee. That means when an Israelite is sick, his focus is not the sickness. His focus is service. As he focuses on service, God focuses on the sickness. But today, when somebody is sick, he focuses on the sickness and ignores the service. No matter how much you focus on the sickness, you may have enough faith to be healed. But so long as your focus is on the sickness, you can never be healed. So God was teaching the Israel the dynamics of dealing with sickness. He said, I know you are sick. I know there is sickness in your midst. He said, but your job is not to focus on the sickness. He said, if you focus on service, me, I will focus on the sickness. So somebody comes for a meeting. He has enough faith and he wastes that faith on his challenge. But if you were an Israelite that knows how to walk in health, you know that every time you are sick, that is the time to serve. And the more you are serving, the more the power of God is being released on your circumstance. You see how these guys worked? It was a formula God gave them. That their focus is what determines the direction of power. If their focus is wrong, even if they have the greatest faith, they can never see manifestation. So when an Israelite is sick, he is very careful about what he focuses on. Even if he is dying, he will try to do something for God. No matter how difficult it is, he will muster his last faith to do something for God. Because he knows that as he does this, he gets his healing. Look at another scripture.
Numbers 21 verse 9. They were being beaten by serpents in the wilderness. I mean, snakes were in their camp, biting and dealing with them. And God will tell them, forget about the snake. The cure is not the snake bite. The cure is to look. Every time God wants to touch people, He gets them to look in another direction. You look away unto Him. That's when the power is released. He said, and Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if the serpent had beaten any man, see what the man does. The man is beaten by the serpent, but he turns his gaze away from the bite. And he said, if the man beheld the serpent of brass, he lives. How can you be beaten with serpent and the first thing you are doing, you are looking for, where is the pole? Where is the pole? Where is the pole? No matter what happens, your attention is not how big is the bite. Where is the pole? Where is the pole? Because you know your salvation is not in the effort you are putting here. Your salvation is how fast you look at the pole. Because when you look at the pole, the power of God is released. Today people come, God is moving. And instead of them to focus, they are wondering why they are not being touched. And they are trying by all means to get touched. Stop trying. The more you try, the harder it becomes. What you need to do is to focus on where the power is coming from. And if you do that, you will be shocked what happens to you the next minute. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, having said this, what then is the believer supposed to focus on? You know, sometimes the problem people have, before you talk about it, you need to join them and weep first. Because you can be just insensitive towards them. You know, when Lazarus died and Jesus showed up, even though Jesus had the power to heal Lazarus, He wept with them. Because when you see, I saw a boy, he had cancer in his tongue. This growth protruded out of the mouth. Saliva was just pouring down like a tap. And the boy could not as much as shut his mouth for 2 seconds. If he attempts to shut his mouth, he tears the growth because there were many veins on it and he starts bleeding. And if they don't rush him to the hospital in less than 10 minutes, he dies wherever he is. When it's getting hot, what the parents do is that they just pour water on it because if it dries up, it starts cracking. And if it starts cracking, it starts bleeding. Imagine the pain that that boy was going through per second. If you meet such a person and you don't show compassion first, you are a devil. You will weep. You will just start. I went home, I cried all night. I prayed for him, he wasn't healed. But I couldn't sleep. I wept. I couldn't imagine the pain that this young man was going through. So what we share here is not suggestive of any form of insensitivity. No, we are sensitive to your plight. But we also understand that no matter how difficult what you are going through is, this is the cure. The cure is not a lack of faith. It's actually knowing how to focus. If you understand the strategy of spiritual focus, you can be healed just in a moment. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, what then are you supposed to focus on? You know, last week when I came here to minister, I told you, God said He will not heal by the energy. He said He will heal by the sent word. And so even though I was teaching and at some point the hall became charged, I had to calm the hall down because I knew what God said. If I see that the energy is so strong and I begin to ride on that energy, people will be slain. The power of God will move, but people will not be healed. Because if you don't know what to focus on, you will be carried away and you will miss the point. So what is a believer supposed to focus on in order to come out of his crisis? Number one, he's supposed to focus on the word. When we are teaching like this, it's not the whole message that heals you. There may be just one phrase in what is being shared that your faith will catch. And the moment your faith catch that phrase, you have received your healing. Whether you are prayed for or not, if you are able to get that word, you have been healed. This was one of the things God kept giving the Israelites constantly in the wilderness. And the Bible said in Psalm 105 verse 37, it said there was none feeble among their tribe. They walked in the wilderness, in the terrible wilderness,
for 40 years. He said there was none feeble amongst their tribes. Why? Because constantly he sent his word. And so long as they catch the word, so long as they receive the word healed them. In Psalm 107 verse 20, it said he sent his word and the word healed them and delivered them from all their oppression. Many times when God wants to touch you, he's aware that your ear is dripping blood. He's aware that there is a growth on your chest, but he's sending his word. The moment you catch the word has a therapeutic power within to deal with the challenge. Many times people, in an attempt to put their faith, you know what people do most of the times? They are focusing on what's happening for them, to them, and they are praying in tongues. They think when God see their praying, God will be impressed and God will heal them. They don't know that that is a high level religious operation. Father, I must receive my healing now. And he's checking. And he distracts himself throughout the service. A man who knows how this thing works, when he comes for the service, he's waiting for his word. He's focused on his word. The pain is there, but he focuses. Because he knows that the moment the word comes, healing becomes a byproduct. Many times people focus on what should have been the byproduct and they miss the substance. That's why you find people struggling. This thing is not so hard, but what have you caught? When you came into the service, your focus should be that God must speak to me. And if you understand this well, God can speak to you during the worship. Because while the song is going on, as they sing that song, a phrase from that song is magnified in your spirit. And you know, this is my word. And as you latch onto that phrase, after a while, before the preacher comes up, you discover you have already been healed. Because your word is not necessarily with the man of God. Your word is in the atmosphere. The person singing can trap it. Hope you know, when my sister came up to lead the worship before I came up, this was her emphasis. She didn't know the message I came to preach. But while she was singing, she said, turn your attention from your problem and focus on Jesus. That was the word for the service. Before I came up, she decoded it when she was worshiping. And she released it. If somebody had caught that word, even before coming up, the person would have been healed. He sent his word and healed them. She was coming to minister and she caught the word and used it for ministration. You didn't come to minister, you came to receive healing. So if you catch that word, you are not using it to sing a song. The moment you catch that word, you apply it to your healing and you get your healing instantly, because your healing is in the sent word. Praise the name of the Lord. In Acts chapter 20 verse 32, Paul said, I commend you to God and unto the word of his grace, which is able to keep you and to give you an inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. For some of you, you may not even hear the word in the message. But when we say, in the name of Jesus, behold my God, you'll catch it immediately. And instantly a change takes place. Because your healing is in the preceding word. Your healing may not necessarily be with the man of God. Your healing will always be in the word. This is why when you want to be easily healed, all you need to do is channel your faith. Like Habakkuk the prophet said, I will stand on my watch to hear what he will say to me. Your whole faith is channeled on what? To hear what he will say to you. And the moment you hear it, like the psalmist, once have the Lord spoken, twice have I heard that power belongs to God. When you know that your focus is in is the word, it doesn't matter if it's cancer you came with. It doesn't matter if it's hepatitis you came with. It doesn't matter if it's high blood pressure. Because the same word that heals cancer is the word that heals hepatitis, is the word that heals broken bones, is the word that heals every infirmity. So you are waiting for that word. You will be amazed that one word released can heal 7 people of different infirmities. Because all things are sustained by the word of his power. Somebody will catch a word here tonight. You know, once upon a time, I went to preach somewhere. Thank God for his mercy. Some of us would have died. The kind of zeal we had, our knowledge was not enough to balance the zeal. And so sometimes, when I come to a meeting,
and the power of God is moving, I will now stand up and say, every territorial prince here, I arrest you now. My God, you arrest who? Meanwhile, before I went on the microphone, the person who was coming with me, I rebuked the person. Get out from here. You are not, you don't have sense. And then I go to the microphone and say, every territorial prince, you with this anger, you are coming to arrest a territorial prince. He will look at you and say, okay. So you too have the rank to challenge. You know, the princes are not demons. They don't fight, they don't possess you. They use spiritual legalities. And so when you violate, you open a door and they use that door and come. On one of those occasions, I went to preach in an NYSC camp. When I was talking, my God, the place was boiling. People were running out of the tent. The power will hit somebody and throw the person from where he's sitting. Sometimes for more than 5 meters, somebody will be flung out of his seat. Ah! When the power was moving, I began to arrest territorial spirits. And usually, when I bind them, I stop them from operating in that territory. When I was driving home, they shot an arrow on my left tire. And the tire exploded. Ah! I came down, I said, was I speeding? I now put my spare tire. I started driving very slowly. The second one shredded. The tire did not just explode, it shredded. It was like thread. That was when I came down quickly. I said, Jesus, have mercy. Have mercy, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. Have mercy, Lord, have mercy, have mercy. What's happening here? I needed to understand, am I besieged? What, how many spirits left with me? Have mercy, have mercy. Insurance in this kingdom necessitates that you function by the preceding word. That was why when the devil was trying Jesus on the mountain, he said, it is written. It is written. It is written. The moment you get the word, the whole power of heaven backs you up. Somebody may be here with a heart condition. While we are yet speaking, that Jesus is your healer, it will just enter your spirit man like a tornado. And after a while, you'll discover that the heart condition has been corrected. And you are wondering, what happened? You may be here, the doctor told you, you have 2 weeks to live. That's not a problem. As we are sharing this thing, somewhere, somehow, the word is fired into your spirit that you will not die, but live. Because the same has happened to me and I know it by experience. I went for a meeting, I made declarations. And when I got home, I was shot. My breath started failing. My breath. I was dying. It's as if they were pulling my soul out of my body with a rope. And it continued for 1 week. On one of those occasions, I laid on my bed. And I was listening to a worship song. I think by Benny Hinn or somebody. I forgot it. I don't Benny Hinn or Bishop David Oyedepo. And then a being walked into my room and sat on the bed. Now, the glory that the being came with was so much that I was too afraid to turn. I was startled and I kept my peace. And then he tapped me on the back and said, because I live, you will see tomorrow. See, this is why people like us, we are not afraid of anything. I can go to Afghanistan now and preach. Because a word has come that because I live, you will see tomorrow. I checked in John chapter 14. He said, because I live, you will live also. So there is an insurance policy. When the word of God comes, the power of heaven is mobilized to defend you. Somebody will catch a word tonight. And when you catch that word, it will rubbish cancer. It will rubbish the doctor's report. The doctor knows that you are supposed to die in 2 weeks. After 2 months, you will go to the hospital in suit. And he will look at you and say, what happened? You say, I'm a wonder. 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 Because even as I'm talking now, somebody, that word is for you. You are a wonder to your generation. And so you will not die, but live to proclaim the word of the Lord. The word of God is the insurance. There are two ways by which the word can come to you. It can come to you by the Spirit,
and it can come to you from the man the Holy Ghost is using at that moment. How does the word come to you? By the Spirit. He may be sharing a story, and while he's sharing that story, the Holy Ghost will speak to your heart and say, you are the one. It doesn't look powerful. You didn't fall under the anointing, but the Lord has whispered to your heart. When you see the impact of that whisper, you will be overwhelmed. Because that whisper can bring the dead back to life. This is how it works. Jesus himself will whisper to you the same way he whispered to me, that don't worry, you will not die. And the cancer may still be there, you won't die. The blood condition will be there, you won't die. That's why he said, even, listen, healing is not necessarily that everything wrong is taken away. But there's a realm where that thing is still there, but you are flowing as if it doesn't exist. That's why he said, you will drink deadly things. He called it deadly. He said, it shall by no means hurt you. So sometimes when God heals you, they will check you and find that in there, but you are living as if it doesn't exist. Because the word of God begins to sustain you. You heard it that you will not die. He didn't say he will terminate the blood infection, but he said you will not die. And you will live. I heard a story of a man. The doctor said he will die in 2 weeks. So all his friends gathered together, organized a party for him, and all of them stood and snapped as a way of doing farewell to their brother. After 80 years, the man was the only person holding the picture. All the friends that snapped with him had died. He attended all their burials. See, our God is a God of wonder. There are times when he takes it out. There are times when he leaves it there so that you become a miracle to your generation. Whichever way he goes about it, you will not die. You will live to proclaim the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So the Holy Ghost can speak to you while the person is talking, and the Holy Ghost can use the person to speak to you whichever way the word comes. Your job is not to find out whether it's from the Holy Ghost or from the man. Catch it. If you are able to catalambano it, you will discover that your crisis will be made useless. Praise the Lord. I'm showing you this because there are many people, and I suffered these things myself. I've gone for a healing service before with drugs, and I'm not against drugs. Medicine, God uses medicine a lot. No, I didn't say, let it be personal revelation. Don't hear that Smith Wigglesworth dropped his drug and you go and drop your own. Let God talk to your heart. Are we together? But this is the point I'm making. I took drugs with healing meeting. And because I didn't know this, I was struggling looking at the symptom. And when I left the meeting, the man of God literally ministered to me. But while he ministered to me, I was focusing on the symptom and the thing had not changed. So while I was moving from the meeting, I was battling with, should I take the drug or should I not take the drug? Or should I wait for some days? What should I do? All of those arguments in my head made me to miss my visitation. Even when this man came to lay hands on me, do you know in this meeting, I saw cripples stood up and walked. But I didn't know what to focus on. My focus was scattered in the meeting. Whether to focus on the drug, or to focus on the symptom, or to focus on the man. So when the moment came, I missed it. Many people miss their moment because they don't know that their healing is tied to the word. Their healing is not tied to what is happening around. Their healing is tied to the word that comes in their direction. And so you must catch every word that comes for you. Whether it's from the Holy Spirit or it's from the man of God. Get it. When you get it, you'll be shocked. Because some of you will not receive your healing in the hall. It's why you are on your way going home. That's when the word you caught in the meeting will start working. And then you say, is this how it works? But if you don't hold that, see, if your word comes for you, even if the sign have not come, hold your word. Don't let it go. God can tell you, you are healed. Carry that word with you. The meeting finished, the symptom has not finished, hold it. Did you not read about the 10 leprous people in Luke 17? Jesus prayed for them, none of them was healed. As they were going home, it was on their way, but they carried the word that Jesus gave them. They didn't leave it. While they were on their way home, suddenly they discovered that all of them had been healed. and one of them came back to give thanks. That means the healing happened on their way. Because if it happened with Jesus, 10 of them would have thanked him. So Jesus also tells people, you are healed, nothing happened. But so long as they kept that word, the word is still working. Somebody's word can work immediately. Another person's word will work when he's dreaming. And as he wakes up in the morning, he will discover that the growth is gone. But whether it happens now or it happens later, it depends on whether you are still pregnant with your word. Don't abort your word because the sign have not corresponded. It is in keeping that word that the sign will be commanded to align. Did you not read about Abraham? He said, you will be with child. The man had no child. And for a whole year, the Bible said, Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. You know what he was doing? He will carry that word and say, Lord, you said, I'm a father of all nations. And so I am a father. And he begins to dance. And then when you see him, you say, this is a madman. He knows the technology. Because he had focused on his barrenness, on his impotence. Focused on Sarah's barrenness. For 24 years, nothing happened. So the last time God appeared to him and told him, in the next time of life, I will visit you and Sarah will be with child. Abraham didn't joke with that word. He carried it with him. And so every day, Abraham come to the synagogue and he said, God, you told me I will be a father of many nations. Therefore, I give thanks because Abraham is the father of many nations. And people look at him and say, oh, this man's situation have made me mad. He was energizing that word. And the Bible said, God visited Sarah as he had said. And God did unto Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah was with child and gave birth to a son. And Abraham called him Isaac. How did that happen? Because Abraham incubated on that word. Some people forget their word even before the service is over. But they never forget the symptom. And the more they focus on the symptom, the more they energize their crisis. Somebody will live here and say, my solution is with the word. And so I will keep it. If it's immediate, thank God. If it's 1 week, thank God. If it's 1 month, I will not take my gaze off that word. Because my answer is tied to that word. I'm telling you, you have faith, but you don't know how to steward faith. You channel your faith in the wrong direction. That's why the results don't seem to be coming. God has told you that he will make you a millionaire, but you have forgot. You have forgotten. The answer is with the word. In Psalm 105, verse 17, he spoke to us concerning Joseph. Joseph was cast into a pit by his brothers. He didn't let go of the word. He was sold as a slave. He didn't let go of the word. He was lied upon by Potiphar's wife. He didn't let go of the word. He was cast into prison. His eyes were still on the word. And the Bible said, until the time that his word came. Until the time he stayed there. That was why when Potiphar's wife was promising him great things, he said, how can I do this evil against God? Is it not God that ignored you when they sold you as a slave? But he knows the answer is with the promises of God. So he kept it. By not following the luring of Potiphar's wife, he ended up in prison and he was there for 14 years. But the Bible said the guy kept his focus until the time that his word came. They didn't release him from prison. They took him from prison. He became second in command in Egypt. Because sometimes God gave you a word, but he was waiting to see what you will do. As you are following that word, he doesn't want to heal you. He wants to make you a healing evangelist. That's why your own incubation process may take 1 week. But while you kept that word and you were dealing with the challenge, you are not just taking your sickness away. It is the sickness of the 100,000 people that your ministry will handle that word is incubating on. Make no mistakes about it. Make no mistakes. God told you, you will be a leading a sign. That he will send you to Europe, you will beam from Europe to the nations. And you have been in Africa for 15 years. No matter how long you are in Africa, don't let Africa swallow the word that is in your spirit. Your answer is with that word. And when the time comes, that word will speak. He said, the vision may tarry. He said, it will surely come to pass. It shall not lie. It shall not lie. It shall not lie. There is somebody that a word will come for in this meeting. You will not only be healed, but you become an answer to a generation. The least thing God wants to do for you is to heal you. He's looking for men that he will send to the nations. Some of you, the reason God is allowing you to make sure you incubate on your word is because the things he has promised you are big. Imagine if God told you today that you will borrow to a nation. And then you look at your circumstance. Me, that cannot eat food. How can I do that? You trash it and you are looking for a job. And you don't know how to channel your faith until the day they told you you had headache or you had a problem. God will now use that opportunity to teach you how to trust him. Because what he's trying to deal with is not the headache. He is going to route you back to that word he gave you about lending to a nation. And when you can trust him in the little things, even the big things, you will become empowered to trust him. So by the time you are healed, he has done two things. He has healed you of your infirmity, and he has also brought you to a point where you can give expression to your ordination. But all of that is with the word. How many wars have we aborted? That's why we are where we are. If you hear what God told most of the people seated here today, you will be shocked. You will be shocked. Some don't even remember anymore that God once told them that in the ages to come, that they will be patriarchs. But there's something they need to do in time. They have forgotten it. You are not of the generation that forgets the word of the Lord. Everything God has spoken to you, they will not just be activated tonight, but you will begin to walk in their fullness from this service in the name of Jesus. If we know how to catch God's word and stay on God's word, we will be champions in this life. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Some of the people preaching today, they've been in beer parlors before. What took them out of that beer parlor is that same word God told them, that you will be a voice for me in your generation. And even while they went into the pit, they came out of it. From the pit, they came out. Because that word will never lie. If that word can raise a beggar and establish him as a prince, if that word can raise a fornicator and make him an evangelist, is it your sickness that is too the word can't handle? Your sickness is the least thing for the word of God. It's the least. And somebody will not leave this service today until the word of God comes to pass in your life. In the name of Jesus. Don't look back. You will sink. Peter said, if it be thou, bid me come. He said, come. And Peter was walking on the water. But when you scrutinize that scripture carefully, Peter was not walking on the water. Peter was walking on the word. The moment he doubted the word, he began to sink. Hope you know, Peter was in the presence of Christ. He was sinking in the presence of God. People can die in a power service if they neglect their word. The Bible said Jesus rushed quickly and held him. He would have drowned in Jesus' presence because he neglected the word that was given to him. And when Jesus pulled him out, he said, why did you doubt? Because he turned and looked at the wind. The size of the cancer doesn't matter. Headache can kill. It's not small cancer people survive from. People die of headache. So don't make the mistake of thinking back pain can be healed. People have died of back pain. People have died of a simple scar. They hit their leg on a stone and they were injured. They were amputated and they died. So it's not about the size of the problem. The cancer can be as big as a rock. And God's simple word can deal with it. And the cancer can be very tiny. But because you neglected God's word, it can kill. So it's not the size of the cancer. It's the efficacy of the word that came in your direction. You will not miss God's word tonight. By the time declaration starts going on, somebody will need to look away from the pain and hold on to the word of God. And you will begin to see how the power of God will open in different layers in your spirit, and you will be overwhelmed. You will look for the sickness eventually, but by that time, the world have swallowed it up. The second thing to focus on is the name of Jesus. Have you seen people who are in trouble and they say, Jesus, 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 Jesus? I listened to Bishop David Oedeko once. He was traveling in the vehicle with his wife and they had an accident, and the woman said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He said, once is enough. See, you have to learn these things. These are spiritual dynamics. Now, when you are going through a challenge, sometimes it becomes a school of the spirit for you. Somebody can promise you something, and then you go to the place of prayer, and you say, in the name of Jesus, this matter is settled. And you stand up, you want to go out, and then there is still anxiety in your mind. And then you want to talk again. Discipline yourself to stay with that name you said. And tell yourself, the name of Jesus has been declared. Stay there. Tell yourself, if I lose this thing, I lose it. But I will trust the name of Jesus. As you start building your confidence like this, a day will come. You will now begin to understand the power in the name of Jesus. The cure to your challenge is already a power that is already credited into the name of Jesus. The Bible said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth therein. They are saved. Many believers don't know. They focus on a lot of things. And you can use circumstances of life to train yourself. Take for example, you want to pay your house rent. And you have 48 hours to go. And somebody promises you money. Do you know how every second of the day your mind will be on that person? Every vibration on your phone you are checking, you think it's that person. Every message, everything, the person literally dominates your mind. You know what you have done? You have channeled your whole faith to that person. If you know how the name of Jesus works, that's the way you will channel your faith to the name of Jesus. You will carry the name of Jesus like a weapon. When there is a challenge, you will step back and say, in the name of Jesus. And when you say it, it's enough. It's better you are swallowed up by that challenge than to doubt the name of Jesus. And you begin to practice it in little things. When you do it, a point come. Even if a mountain is standing before you, you say, in the name of Jesus. I learned this from Pastor Chris. Sometimes there is a big issue that the ministry wants to confront. And Pastor Chris will talk with so much audacity. And then me, I'm thinking that, well, at his level, he has some connections. Because Obasanjo used to come for his birthday. He's a friend with good luck, Jonathan. And then you think that he's talking because he knows somebody. When he finished talking, he now say, in the name of Jesus. I say, what? All this boast you are boasting, is it in the name of Jesus? But the man has understood it. He has understood it so much. So somebody has cancer. And he walks up to the person in the name of Jesus. Somebody is crippled on a wheelchair. Sometimes the worship is going on. The place is charged. He will now stop everybody. Ah! The first time I saw him, I became afraid for him. You don't stop the worship. The energy is strong. No, stop. He will now ask the person, where did you go to? You want to hear everything that has happened. Won't it affect your faith? Because my faith is not in the woman's condition. My faith is not in whether the situation is hard or small. Listen, I'm teaching you something that if you master. When I started praying for the sick, this is what I do. When I come to pray for people, if I want to do impartation, I will look. Anybody that is already, the power is strong on the person, I will walk up to the person. If I see somebody doing like this, I will now walk like a man of God. The person will go down. When people start hearing cheers, whoa, 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 others will now say something is happening. They were lying. I now discover if I walk like that, I'm in trouble. Because I started traveling a lot. And I went for some meeting. When you are done preaching, people will sit down looking at you like this. I will now check around. I won't see anybody doing like this. I now discovered the power
does not touch people because they are feeling like falling under the anointing. The power in itself is a protocol. When it is activated, it can impact even the hardened people in that meeting. And when I started consciously doing it, the people that looked as if nothing will happen to them the most usually became the first people that God ministered to. The same thing for sickness. If I'm praying in a crusade ground and I see somebody limping or he has a stick, that's the first place I go to. Bring the stick here. As a man of faith, if I look at you on the wheelchair and your leg is bent like this, they will put you at the back. It's after we have prayed for everybody. When there's no camera, that's when we go there. And God told me, do you think the ones that are healed because it's simple? I will leave you to heal the simple ones for a week. Let's see whether you can. You think the ones you are, God is healing. He's healing them because they are easy. Okay, heal one headache. Let's see. You now discover no one is actually simple. It's the same power that is healing all of them. Now, when you know this, you now take your faith from every positive thing in the environment and put it on Jesus. And when you put your faith on Jesus, the leg can be swollen, the leg can be bent, the leg can be straight, whatever it looks like, whether easy or hard, the power is not sensitive to any of those things. So long as there is sickness, the power will deal with the sickness. But what your faith must be built on is on the name of Jesus. So when we say in the name of Jesus, we don't care what is wrong with you. We don't care for how long it has been there. We don't care the state. It can be stage 4 cancer. In the name of Jesus, it will deal with stage 4 cancer. It will deal with stage 1 cancer. And it can also deal with simple boil. The power does not regard cancer from boil. Whether boil or cancer, when the power comes, it deals with all of them. And so I turn my attention from the challenge and I put my attention on the name of Jesus. Many people who come to receive healings, their greatest problem is that they don't know what to focus on. When you are saying in the name of Jesus, they are praying and say, Lord, have mercy on me. You prayed all your prayer at home before you came. Now the power is about to be activated. The moment you hear the name of Jesus, you catch it like a man who is going for his last resort. And as you do this, you are shocked what the name of Jesus can do for you. Our faith must be in the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 3 verse 8, when the man was healed and he entered the temple, they were hailing Peter. And Peter said, why are you looking on us as if we did something special for this man to be healed? He said, this man is healed today before you because of his faith in the name of Jesus. Because of his faith in the name of Jesus. He's not healed because a special person prayed for him. Hope you know the story. It says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. When Peter said it, the man didn't rise. Peter didn't say it the second time. He went and held him, lifted him up, and the man stood up and began to walk. Because he knows that if his faith in the name of Jesus is lacking, every other thing he does on ground is religion. It will have no power. Believers have no power, have no confidence in the name of Jesus. This is why many times, even though they are full of faith, they have no result. Somebody will reprogram his mind tonight and say, the moment the name of Jesus goes forth, whatever it is that is wrong with me, it answers to that name. Did you not read? In Philippians chapter 2, it said God gave him a name that is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus is the Lord. At the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus. If you put your faith in the name of Jesus, it looks simple, but you will be shocked the results you will have. You will be so shocked. And when next something is wrong at home, you won't need a healing service to deal with it. The same way the man of God said, in the name of Jesus, you will also stand up. And in your home, you too will take that same name of Jesus and have the same result that the man of God had preaching on the healing service. We were here on Monday in the prayer meeting. Nobody prepared for a healing service. In fact, we were all tired. We were coming to charge ourselves up in prayer. And suddenly, the Holy Ghost said, the prayer ground is the solution ground. My God, I went loose.
The moment I carried the microphone, I began to give commandments. If you saw the situations that God dealt with, the young man that was healed, the volume of saliva, my God, the devil is wicked. The volume of saliva. I wish they have this video. Do we have this video? If you saw the volume, I asked myself, doctor, do human beings produce? Where was that saliva coming from? It's a demon was manufacturing it. If that guy puts his mouth on a cup, it will fill in 5 minutes. In the name of Jesus, instantly, it stopped. What? See, if you learn this, every time you have a problem, your anxiety won't deal with you. You will just wake up in the morning, and when you are done praying in tongues, you will stand like a king. And you say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. See, when you call that name of Jesus, you call it with assurance. Because you have put your faith in it. And when you are done doing that, all you do is celebrate and give thanks. Whether the situation likes it or not, it must come back to obey it. Many people believe in long prayers, but they don't believe in the name of Jesus. That's why when they pray their long prayers, they still have no result. Because the authority is credited to the name. He said, until now you have asked for nothing. Ask that you might receive, that your joy may be complete. How did he say you should ask? He said, whatsoever you ask in my name. He has given you the formula. But you don't know where to put your faith. That's why, even though you have faith enough to move mountains, no mountain has moved. Because you didn't put your attention on the trigger. If you put your attention on the trigger, you will be shocked the results you have. If I gave you my phone now, and I told you, I've told you before, how that I was in a crusade ground. They told me to go drive a car and repark. I went with confidence that I'm a driver. That's what happens to us. When we put our confidence in things apart from the name, you will soon meet something that will be bigger than that thing. That's your gimmick. I told you about my gimmick. When somebody wants to fall, I say, Kai, in the name. You will meet a situation that will be greater than that gimmick. They told me to go and repark a car, and I was going with confidence as a driver. In fact, I wanted to drive like a senior man. When I went, I now remember I didn't collect. I had the key. I wanted to on it. When I checked, I wasn't seeing ignition. Where do I on this key? I check. No ignition. There's trouble. I started sweating immediately. I now looked closely. I saw a button. So I pressed it. The car was still quiet. In 3 minutes, my whole cloth was drenched with sweat. And I said, wait. What is it? These people will now say this guy is a local. What do I do here? I started breathing. I start so many symptoms. I don't know how God helped me that day. As I tapped the button, I now saw match the brake and press it or something. When the car owned, it looked like a deliverance. Now, this is it. The owner of the car tells you, when you enter the car, match the brake, press the button. That is all. Your confidence is not whether the car will on or not. Your confidence is in the fact that this is the manufacturer. And if he says this is how to on it, that's how to on it. If I give you my phone and I say, press this button for 1 minute, it will on. And then you collect the phone and start arguing with me. You are in trouble. Jesus tells you, whatever the problem is, when you say in the name of Jesus, it will be dealt with. You are now telling Jesus, this is not headache. This is cancer. I need to do this. You are in trouble. All you need to do is what? Press the button for 1 minute. The phone will on. Owning of the phone is a function of the manufacturer. He knows what he put inside. Jesus knows how he designed your body. So he said, whatever it is you are going through, when you say in the name of Jesus, believe that it is done. Why are you adding other things to the menu? That's why we are where we are. Simple. But it is the solution to the problem of humanity. That man should learn to put his faith in the name of Jesus. This is what we can do. Somebody will leave here today and interact with Jesus differently. Somebody will leave this service today and suddenly the name of Jesus will become an asset. Because whether it's on your job or on your business or in your body or in your children's life, when you stand up, patakapatoria, ragapatakapados, seteke patakaya, in the name of Jesus, get out, and it is done. How many of you will begin to use the name of Jesus differently? Praise God. Please sit down. I'm showing you how to administer your faith. You have been wrongly administering your faith. You have been looking into the cloud, into heaven, hoping that an angel will come down. It won't come. You have been looking at your problem, and as you are nurturing your problem, it's growing. It's time to look away from your problem and begin to scan the spirit for your word. And while you are waiting for your word, it's time to take the name of Jesus like a sword and begin to use it against your crisis. See, when we talk as, when we boast, what do you think we are boasting in? How dare you organize a healing service? Who are you? When we boast, it's because we know some things. And we know that worst case scenario, when we raise the name of Jesus, something must happen. Our faith is not in the color of suit we wear. Our faith is not in the lingo with which we preach. Our faith is in the fact that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if He did it yesterday, He will do it again. You will leave this place, and when you are going to your work, you are going to your workplace as a solution to your generation. And then when they ask you how, you will say, in the name of Jesus. You are doing that business, they say, hope this thing will not fail. You say, no, things don't fail with us. Whatsoever He doeth, He shall prosper. And they say, why are you so proud? I'm not proud. I believe in something. It's called the name of Jesus. They say, at the name of Jesus, every knee bows. He didn't consult me before He said it. It is the Lord of the universe that made that statement. He created the world. He created everything that is in the world. And if the creator of the ends of the earth said, in the name of Jesus, everything bowed, who am I to query Him? All I need to do is to take that name, believe that name, and use that name. We believe the wrong things. Somebody has a headache. He wants to go on 40 days fast. And then he goes on 40 days fast and they say his brain cells are dying. Because that fast is not inspired by the Holy Ghost. He thinks when he fasts for 40 days, God, even God will know that somebody has fasted here. Do you know how many people have fasted for 10 years? Somebody has a little challenge and before you know it, he has gone on a 90 days fasting marathon. Now, when you are doing that to exercise your spirit, that's beautiful. But if you think by doing those things, God will be so impressed that God will not be able to hold Himself, He will do something, you are in trouble. If you can't believe the one He told you, even the one you are doing, who told you you believe it? That's why when you finish that your marathon, you'll still come back helpless. One of the easiest ways to activate your faith is to channel it to what He says to do. We know this thing in the natural, but it's so hard for us in the supernatural. When you climb, when you board a plane, they tell you, sit down, cross your seat belt. You obey every instruction. And while the plane is in the air, you are sleeping. You didn't meet the pilot anywhere. He was never introduced to you. You didn't know the school he went to. You didn't know his experience, but you are sleeping. But you have a little challenge. The God of the universe say, if you say Jesus is enough, and you are awake all night, what can you do by staying awake? He said, can you add a cubit to your hair by worrying? Your worry now deteriorates your situation. The God of the heavens has spoken. As we are living here, most of us will board cabs. You don't even know whether that guy just finished drinking a bottle of whiskey. You don't even know whether the guy is coming out from a brothel. You don't even know whether the guy is coming out from a beer parlor and he has drank 3 bottles of Star. You enter, you say you are going to massacre. Enter, 500, you pay, you sit down, you sleep. But Jesus said, you will never disbelieve him again. The same way you rest on the curb, that's how you begin to rest in the name of Jesus. Because if the curb can take you to your destination, then the name of Jesus is a strong tower. The righteous runneth therein. My God, my God, my God. Shakatakaporia. My God. Listen. This is why I told you. Your problem is not a faith problem. You know that the cabman can drive you. By assumption. You pay the money, you enter, you sleep. You get to your destination and say, wake up, we don't reach. And you're all sorry. You believe in Jesus, but you don't know what to do. And I'm teaching you what to do. You will channel your faith on Jesus. When the anxiety comes, you will put it on that name. When the fear comes, you will put it on that name. You may have made a decree, nothing is happening. And you say, Jesus, I cast my cares upon you. I cast my worries upon you. I cast my fears upon you. Because you will do what you say. Some people will leave you and start raising the dead. So you reign, you ancient Zion's King, Kadosh Adonai. You are mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign, you reign, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. If we trust the name of Jesus half as much, half, we will be a wonder to our generation. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong in trusting an apostle or a prophet, but I'm telling you, an apostle can fluctuate. But there is something that never changes. He said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can meet me on the day when I'm on fire. The next time you met me, say, pray for me. I may be quarreling at home. And I'm not in the spirit. But you didn't know, you still trusted. But the name of Jesus never changes. Any day, any time, anywhere, if you invoke it, my God, you will be shocked. Every challenge you came here with, by the authority in the name of Jesus, we command it to go down. Thank you, Father. Please sit down. The third thing you focus on is the presence of God. The presence. The presence. Listen, this is not a chemistry class. This is not a physics class. This is not an anatomy class. This is the gathering of the believer. The Bible said in Psalm 133 from verse 1 to 3, it said, behold, how beautiful and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in harmony. It said, it's like the oil on the head of Aaron that runs through his beard down his skirt. It said, it's like the dew upon Mount Hermon. There, the Lord commands his blessings. When we gather together, there is something in our midst. The Bible calls it the shout of the king. You may not see it, but it doesn't mean it's not there. It says, wherever 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. In Luke chapter 10, verse 17, He said, on one day, Jesus was ministering and the power of God was present. Luke 5:17. The power of God was present to heal. When we gather, there is something about our atmosphere. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 21, he said, when Israel left Egypt, he said, the presence of God went with them. Everywhere the people of God gather, the presence of God tabernacles there. And that presence is not there for formality. It's not. I read for you already in Psalm 105, verse 37. It said, there was none feeble amongst their tribe. When you are sensitive to God's presence, see those things you feel, it's not for emotion's sake. When the power of God is running on you, it's reconstructing your body. But you need to know it, so that when you sense God's power, you begin to bring administration. You don't just sense it and say, and you fall down. No! When the power of God comes on you, sometimes you begin to think on what you want. That power that is on you is like electric current. Your thought will become a conduit. The power will enter it. So when the power of God comes on me, I start seeing the ministry grow. When the power of God comes on me, I start seeing myself functioning in the anointing. When the power of God comes on me, I start seeing myself making progress. The moment I begin to think it, something happens. That's why in Ephesians 3:20, it says God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to the power that is at work. When we come under the canopy of God's presence and the power of God comes down, the power is looking for channels. It can enter your thought, and everything you are thinking at that time, the power animates it. That's why we labor to bring the presence. We don't bring the presence so that we can enjoy it. We bring the presence because in the presence is the power that animates the purposes of God. When the power of God comes on you, that's when you talk. Many people talk when they shouldn't talk. When I sense the power, I don't keep quiet. In the name of Jesus, I'm 10 times better. I am going forward. No power on earth can stop me. I will not die but live to proclaim. Because I know everything I say at that time, the power will animate it. This is why the presence becomes important. Some of you are in a meeting. When the power of God comes down, you are quiet. You are wrong. You are wrong. Bartimaeus knew this. When they told him Jesus was passing by, he heard people shouting. And he said, what is going on? They said, Jesus, the son of David, is passing. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. Because when the presence of God is around, anything is possible. But the things that are possible are at the mercy of your thought and your words. That's why men don't keep quiet in the presence. When the presence comes, that's when to think. That job that is not moving, that house project that is not being completed, that growth that is not going, suddenly when the power comes, you just begin to see it go. You begin to see the house rise. You begin to see the business move. And those things you are seeing, they will begin to be animated. 1 week later, somebody strolls to you and say, I want to partner with you. It was your thought through the power of God that brought that person. The person is not doing what he wants. He is being controlled. You imagine those things, you meditate those things, you think those things, and suddenly they are animated. This is how people receive their healing. It's either by the word, or by the authority of the name, or by the administration of the presence of God. The presence can be moving and you are sleeping. No, you are wrong. You are wrong. When the presence of God is strong upon you, you become a co-creator. Everything you think is animated. Everything you say is animated. That's why I told you, you can't focus on your problem. You focus on your solution. The presence will animate those thought patterns and create a result. You see people who go ahead, they know these things. And they don't joke with it. Somebody is praying in his room. The moment the power of God knocks him down, he begins to prophesy his future. And then you think he doesn't know what he's doing. He understands the technology. Faith is not the problem. Understanding is the problem. Next time when the choir is worshiping and you sense the energy, you start prophesying. You talk about your family, you change the destiny of your children. My son will not be a vagabond. He will be 1,000 times better than me. The things I achieve at 30, he will achieve at 15. You are changing his life, and those things you are saying, the power you are feeling will enter it and animate it. That's why when you start talking or thinking, After a while, the energy reduces. The reason is because you are spending from it. This is spiritual intelligence. Why do you think we begin to decree when the energy changes? Because we know when the energy level changes, everything we say is animated. That's why we don't do impartation just like that. It's when the energy changes that we begin to give commands. I've seen people who were shot. The metal melted. Bullets. Iron melted. Because energy came into the building. And I made declaration. He melted the metal. I've seen cancers dematerialize from people. Cancer. Big cancers. I've seen, how do you call it? Thyroid diseases. Swollen goiter. Melted from people's body. Because when the energy comes, just begin to think. That's why when the power of God is strong, sometimes we carry our handkerchief. Anything you do works. Because you are administrating the power. You can look at somebody and say, look here. The person looks at you and go under the power. If you think it, it will happen. If I come around here and I say, all of you, look at me. If I want them to fall, I will use my mind to throw them down. Because as I push them down with my mind, that energy will enter and throw them down. The new agers know this thing, but believers don't. Why do you think we labor to pray for 1 hour before service? Worship for 30 minutes. Is it because we don't know what to do with time? There is so much that happens under the atmosphere that cannot even happen by our words. Because we are not intelligent enough to co-opt the needs of people into one service. Can I tell you something? Hear this. Randy Clark was going for a meeting. He had waited in God's presence for 3 days. And he was praying in tongues. So the anointing was strong on him. Meanwhile, for months, when Randy Clark goes to the restroom, it's blood that comes out. This is a global apostle. But he was plagued. He didn't know what to do. While he was going for the meeting, he now thought, a thought came to his head, that everybody that have intestinal condition, respiratory issues, they should come out and they should do like this. You see how funny that thought is. He now asks himself, an elderly man like me will go and start doing those things. But he understands the technology of the presence. He knew he was included. And so when he came for the service, he made the call that if you have any challenge with your track, come out. And he arranged over 200 people. And he said, 3 times. And himself was doing it. The moment they did it, colon cancer healed instantly. Now, terrible things that he could not imagine. Even himself stopped stewing blood from that moment. Because while he thought it, the energy on him already animated it. This is why we discipline believers to think well. Because somebody who thinks fear, when you bring him under an intense energy and he allows that thought, he can animate it. But when you are trained, you know how to coordinate your thoughts when the presence of God is strong. And as you do it, you will discover it's not everything. Why do you think people like A.A. Allen will go to a demon and say, I am A.A. Allen? He knows the technology of the presence. When the presence of God is strong, I can walk up to you, and if I do like this, you will be healed of an infection. Because if I think it, it will happen. Many believers come under the atmosphere. They are waiting for the pastor to touch them. And the pastor never touched them. And so the power to heal them is there, but they don't know how to receive it. When the atmosphere is charged, you don't need an apostle. You don't need a prophet. You just begin to see yourself have a new liver. You begin to see yourself have a new kidney. You begin to see the growth leave you. After a short period of time, you will discover that the whole power that is on you have entered there and reprogrammed and recreated you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. When these 3 things happen, when the word comes to you, or the name of Jesus is used to proclaim your deliverance, or the energy of God is on you, you have to take quick action. Quick. This thing is for both those who minister healing and those who trust God for healing. You've got to take quick action. And there are four actions you need to take. Number one, don't wait for a change before you give thanks. The moment you give thanks, you have released your faith. Because God responds to your thanksgiving. So you may have a problem on your knee. The moment they decree healing, you jump up and you say, thank you Lord, I'm healed. The moment you give thanks, you become the first recipient of that impartation. This is what people of understanding do. Number two, God may touch you before you give thanks. Don't wait until you are completely healed. Did you read Acts chapter 3 verse 8? The Bible said, the man was walking and limping. He was not completely healed, but he was already running in the temple and giving thanks. Somebody is waiting that, no, this thing is just 40%. Let me wait until it's done. You don't know the technology. The moment you sense a change, you are jumping, you are giving thanks, and before you know what is happening, the same power begins to perfect your healing. The reason too many times very few people are healed is because very few people respond. Your response is the sign that your faith is released. The moment you sense a change, sometimes you say, if you are healed, come out. Somebody is healed of deafness, he's still sitting down. You ask him, he say he's shy. And the moment he steps out of the building, the devil comes and say, you. So you like this thought you were healed. You are joking. And then the person will now say, but is it true that I'm healed? Before you know what is happening, seven more wicked demons come. And what was partial deafness becomes complete deafness. And then the person will go out foolishly and say, what these people are doing is not real. You don't know the technology. Because when you give thanks, you are made whole. 10 leprous people were healed. One came back and gave thanks and was made whole. Your thanksgiving is what perfects your healing. So it could be 30%, it could be 50%, it could be 70%. The moment there is a change, jump up and begin to thank God. And then he will perfect your healing. Number three, don't wait until you are encouraged to testify. The man that was born blind in John chapter 9, from verse 8, the Bible said when people saw him, they were saying, is this the man? He didn't wait for them to complete it. He said, I am the man. I am the man. I am the one. I am the one. Do you know some people are healed? They are ashamed of testifying. If you don't testify, how will God take the glory? Did you read about the woman at the well? When Jesus ministered to her in John chapter 4, the Bible says she went into the city and told everybody, come and see the man that told me everything that I ever did. In Mark chapter 5 verse 20, when Jesus healed the madman of Gadara, the Bible said the next time Jesus came, he said the man testified in a Decapolis. He testified in 10 cities. And Jesus was glorified. When you don't have the culture of testifying, you can lose your healing. And then number four, the fourth action you should take, don't go back to a sinful life. That God healed you is not a guarantee for you to continue sinning. So number one, don't wait until there's a change. Jump up and claim your healing. Number two, don't wait until it's 100%. Begin to give thanks and God will perfect it. Number three, don't wait to be persuaded to testify. The moment you are healed, testify so that God will be glorified. And number four, don't go back to a sinful life. Because Jesus said, a worse thing can come upon you. Are you ready to receive your healing? Are you ready? Is your faith ready to receive? Are you charged to receive? Are you charged to receive? Jump on your feet and shout glory! My God! Do you know why we take time to teach? So that you can retain it and so that you can communicate it. Praise God. So somebody will not just be healed tonight. Whatever you are healed of, you will become a communicator of the same to your generation. Because my word for you tonight is that you will be a joy of many generations. You will be a joy of many generations.
What God healed you from, you will provide that same healing for others. In the name of Jesus.
Jesus,
you want to forget your problem and focus on Jesus now. For a touch, a word will soon come in your direction. A word will soon come. And so that's your way to your victory. Give the Lord a shout. Are you ready to take your healing now? In the name of Jesus. Listen, I'm thinking of what to do now. I'm thinking. If I talk, they will say it's apostle. I want you to apply what you've learned. I want you to, Pastor Victor, come. I want you to apply what you've learned. You will think I prepared for a healing service. So if people are healed, you say it's because they prepared. When you know how to administer the power, you will teach it to your children. Somebody will have a problem. Your boy of 12 years will walk up to the person and say, in the name of Jesus. And you will be shocked. I want Victor to command sicknesses to go, growth to dematerialize, ears open, eyes open, bone conditions to be healed. Come on! Come on! Come on! Give the Lord a shout! In the name of Jesus, every infirmity here, we command your hold to be broken now. Demon causing ulcer, deafening spirits, blinded demons, crippling spirit, by the power in the name of Jesus, we command your reign over. We decree your influence is broken. Organ infection, hear me. Your power in the name of Jesus, you are arrested now. Kabakataya, kabakato pakataya, ekepeke pokataya, ikapaparo parata, epeke teke parodia, ekapapaya tuaya. Parados. Condition, you are commanded heal now. Woforo tomonai, wofateko paradia, wofotakaliote, yero posaitete. HIV, hear me. Be gone now. In the name.
name of Jesus. Demon causing barrenness. Right now, your reign is over. If you are here trusting God for the fruit of the womb, in the name of Jesus, take your baby. In the name of Jesus, take your baby. Om barakabi lotene mozakadia. Ila bahato seseliata.
Who has the final say?
Jehovah.
Who has the final say in your life?
Jehovah.
Oh, Jehovah turns my life around. He turns. Your family, who was the final say? Who was the final say? Oh, Jehovah, cause my life.
My God, people are already being touched. Now the things you couldn't do, begin to do them. Begin to do the things you couldn't do. Begin to do the things you couldn't do. Hey, 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 hey. Somebody's leg, your bones, you've received strength. Somebody has been healed of diabetes. From my right, it's a sugar infection. The Lord just caused that affliction. Somewhere from this side, you had a sugar infection. You've just been healed. Is there anybody there with diabetes? You need to go and check. Don't worry, but I'm just giving you the word of the Lord. Somebody has been healed already. You've noticed a change. Check your bodies, check your bodies. You have seen a change. Please come out quickly. You were weak, strength has come. You couldn't walk. You can walk now. You can walk now. Come out. Come out. Come out. God is not only healing bodies. Make no mistakes about it. Some of you that your finances have been crippled. This is God's word for you. As you step out of this place, by the speed of the Spirit, step into your financial recovery. In the name of Jesus. Hear this. relationships have been healed. People whose relationship with their parents, their loved ones have been broken. People whose relationship with their helpers have been manipulated and they have been in a dungeon. Now by the Spirit, I mend every broken relationship. In the name of Jesus. What happened?
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Apostle said there's the amazing miracles happening here.
Talk to me.
Now, Daddy walked out with, he came to service with this walking stick.
Yes.
I'm believing and trusting the Lord for a touch. He said he came out healed. He actually walked out without the walking stick.
You were using that stick.
In the name of Jesus, I'm healed.
Amen.
Wow. Give the Lord a big hand. What happened to her?
Sir, someone invited her for service today. She actually had headache, so she was contemplating coming. But when she came and you were giving the word, she realized the headache is gone completely.
And I didn't pray for the sick. Pastor Victor D. Give the Lord a shout!
Apostle, sir, this young man came in with ulcer pains for over a week. But he said while the session was ongoing, at a point today, he actually observed he was having headache, severe headache as well, combined to the ulcer pains. But everything is gone. Headache gone.
Cleared forever.
Gone. Forever.
Cleared forever. In the name of Jesus. What happened, brother?
Okay, I was having this irritating cough.
Yes,
that I couldn't even stay in service throughout today.
You couldn't stay in the service?
Yes, even here I was coughing. Like, I was uncomfortable. I came by faith. And now I can't find
the
it.
The cough is clear.
Amen.
What happened?
Sir, this young man came with severe back pain, but while the praises was ongoing, he realized the pain were gone completely.
My God. And what happened to Mama?
Mama had an issue from the top part of her body downwards. She was feeling lots of pains. But she said when she came for the service, the pains are completely gone while you were ministering. Completely gone.
My God. Can somebody give the Lord a shout of praise? Go home and you will discover that long-standing afflictions have just disappeared. They've just disappeared. You will discover strange things beginning to happen. Doors that were shut for years suddenly will just begin to open. Financial doors, doors of favor, they will just be opening by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. What happened?
Apostle, sir.
Yes.
For over 7 months now, he has not been feeling his left hand side.
The left hand side have been done. None.
Done. None.
You couldn't feel nothing. But
and
what happened now?
Difficulty in breathing. But he said at the word.
Difficulty in breathing as well.
Immediately heard the word. He held up to it. He said he started doing what he could not do. When you gave the order, immediately he began to feel himself.
Abosa,
Mama here said for long, she keep feeling headache, go come, and immediately she came into the service with pains all over her body. Then the headache, but at the word, he said,
it's gone. What happened to my brother?
We have been a case of...
Yes,
sir. Ulcer.
You had ulcer, sir? For how long?
A year now.
And it's gone?
Yes.
What happened to the officer?
Officer said you prayed for him the last time.
Yes.
He got the perfection. He got the healing. But today when you echo John 14:19, that as I live, you will live.
My God.
He said he came in with some of those symptoms still reoccurring. But he began to utter those words to himself. And immediately he raised up his hand, took it to the back. What he couldn't do, he said he couldn't.
You couldn't take your hands to the back?
Do it now.
Have you been carrying guns for too long? So what happened now? Perfectly healed. Give the Lord a shout! What happened to Mama?
pains. She has been feeling severe pains from her legs, her knees, downward for days now. But the moment she came in and the word was going on, he said she began to jump and no more pains.
It's gone. What happened?
I came here with something like a tennis ball on my throat.
For the past, a tennis ball, like a tennis ball.
Okay, there was a growth in your throat.
Yes, yes. I started experiencing it last Sunday. And then when I tried to swallow, it wasn't a sore throat. I was feeling something round on my throat. When I tried to swallow saliva,
now?
Right now, I can't even, I'm swallowing saliva and I can't feel it. As if I swallowed it into my stomach. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Shout glory.
The lady on the camera, the lady with the photo camera,
yeah.
I actually observed her while service was ongoing. She would take pictures and sit down. She said she had pains on the right side of her. But right now, the pains are gone.
My
I
God.
Was amazed when I saw her giving the fantastic pictures here. Wow. She's going to give it as well. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. The healing is not only for those in the auditorium. Even those online, God has touched you. God is touching you. Sending your testimonies, we'll take them and give God praise for you. Now, the reason we do these things like this, one of the things we want to help our generation overcome is the superstar mentality. When we know this truth, anybody can demonstrate it. Anybody can walk in it. Anybody can practice it. Praise God. As you live here, you will put it to work and you will receive extraordinary testimonies. You will see strange things happening. Believe me, the declarations Pastor Victor made, if cancer was here, it would have been healed. Any situation on ground would have been dealt with. Now, the problem with the healing ministry in the city center is sometimes you hardly find those who have children. That's why we go to the village. When you go to the villages, you meet the problem there. And then you apply these things well. But as you live here, you'll become an extension of God's healing power. Yeah. You'll become God's healing balm to your generation. Yeah. You'll become the solution your world is looking for. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. And everything that have wrestled you successfully till now is canceled. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. Go in this dynamite. Yeah. And declare the glory of the Lord to your world. In Jesus' precious name.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com or visit us on our website at www.encounterjesus.cc to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege of discipling you. God bless you.